So, you know, one of the things that I just felt very appropriate this morning as I was, you know, got up and kind of ditched the message on new year, new life, is that so many of us, we've lost, right? If you're older, you've lost your family. Some of you have lost brothers. Some of you lost fathers and husbands. And it's tough, especially this season. You know, my dad lost his dad when he was 27. I was 8 years old. And my dad struggled for, years around Christmas. It's hard, you know. And see that just as a son growing up. And it's this year, in the last couple of years, it's not been lost on us, so the folks in our body that have lost folks. And I just want to give an opportunity to just recognize those folks, and especially this past year and then beyond. Nita Green and Trina Combs lost their dad, N.L. Green, in the beginning of the year. Nancy Powell lost her husband, Lon. Donna Donahue lost her husband, Bobby. Julie Solis lost her dad. Their children, her grandfather, Jim Butcher. Jamie Solis lost his brother, Chris Solis, just 10 days ago. Cheryl Warren and Philip and his family lost husband and dad, grandfather, Jerry Warren. Ten days ago, Bob and Christine Anderson and their family lost their son and brother, Michael. Buried him on Thursday. There'll be a memorial on January 11th at 2. Last few years, and even the year before, Guy Viss lost his son, Ronnie. Sarah lost a brother, Ronnie Viss. He and Daniel also lost a mom and an aunt. Sylvia Burleson and her family lost husband, dad, grandfather, Eric. Kelly Baker and daughters, Demi and Daria, lost husband, dad, Clark. Charlene Frank lost her husband, Wayne. Les Grace lost his wife, Penny. Wayne Trimble and family lost dad, grandfather, Tommy. Gracie Hancock, James, and Minga Barron lost and husband, Mario, lost their mom, grandmother, Emma Garza. Bertha Marino, Pete, their family lost their mother and grandmother, Maria Vasquez. Maria and Angel Garza lost their husband and dad, Horacio. John Michael Walden, his children lost his mom and grandmother, Debbie Walden. Brody Weems and wife, Lauren, lost his dad, grandfather, Jimmy Weems. I know there's others, specifically in the last few years, but, you know, there's been also miscarriages, wounds that have come back from loss as children, long ago things that seem to be reminded. And I just want to have an opportunity, if you feel led, to come up and kneel. If you've lost somebody this year, last year, or even you're just still struggling, I just want to have prayer for you. As an intercessory prayer time. And so if you would do that, if you feel led to do that, you come. Just come to this altar here and allow me to pray for you. Would you do that? Great. Awesome. Yeah, come on this way. Come on this side of the speaker, if you would. Yeah. Join me in prayer. Would you do that? Father, I want to thank you for my friends. For most here, we've sat or stood at a graveside. and buried the one they loved. And Lord, I know that only you can heal. Only you can bless with just some things about mourning and loss. Only you can fill up that which is lost, hurting. And Lord, I know that this season is really, really hard for most, if not all, at this altar today. And I want to ask God that you would just fill them with your spirit and fill them with your life right now, right here. I want to ask, Father, that your spirit would come and bring a healing and a health that you promised. As we're going to see in just a moment, Lord, how you carried the sorrow and how you carried that grief of significant loss in their lives. Folks that they've lost that were just way too young to lose. Parents who've lost their children, miscarriages, Lord. All those things of just a deep, deep wound and hurt. And I want to ask, Lord, that you would in this season just do a greater work in their hearts and minds. And you do that through so many ways. You do that through your grace. You do that through our faith. You do that through the good memories that we've had of our loved ones. Lord, I want to thank you, Father, for the opportunity that you have given me these 39 years to pastor a people, to walk with them through loss. Lord, I want to pray that your spirit would rest upon these and that Father, that you would tell them. I'm going to say this, I believe with all my heart, Lord, that no one can tell them how to grieve and how long to grieve. I just ask that you'd meet them and fill up that which is lacking in these days as best as can be. And I do. I pray for those wonderful memories of a mom, a dad, a husband, a wife, a dad, a brother, a grandson, a granddaughter, that you'd fill them with your peace right now, right here. A peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, would they just receive that right now in the name of Christ? Lord, just to receive the peace of Jesus right now, right here, to move through even this next season, Lord, of their lives. And I ask, God, that you would just show up today in a mighty way to bring comfort that only you can give, a peace that surpasses all understanding, a hope that anticipates the wonderful work of God in their lives. And I thank you, Father, how you're going to bless and how you're going to move. Bless my friends here, my family. I ask your peace upon them in a great, mighty way. And the church, I know, is joining me right now, agreeing in this prayer. And then yet there's others out there that still struggle sometimes with the loss of a dad, a loss of a mom, a loss of a son, a daughter. I ask God in Jesus' name that you'd move and bring great, great comfort. And I pray these things, Lord, in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. And amen. Thank you all for coming up, praying for you guys in this season. Thank you, Stephen. John, thank you. We've talked about this for what, 8 weeks? You know, maybe a little longer. And so I just really am grateful. I want to talk to you today about hope in the midst of loss. No one can give you hope like Jesus, because he is our hope. And I know that there's a couple of scriptures that I want to share with you this morning are some that are often read at a graveside. But these aren't just graveside messages. These are scriptures for today. Long after a graveside, long after a death of a family member that you've loved and walked with. So I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. And just as we move through the next few minutes, I want to just say that just through the years, I feel like the church in whole has not done a really good job in teaching people how to lament and how to grieve. And confess, as a pastor who's lost grandparents and a dad, you know, just feel sometimes insufficient to share what I'm going to share today, even though I've stood at the graves of hundreds of folks who've lost loved ones, people that were friends, people that 2 days later would just weep and weep and weep the loss of a friend that had no idea what he was going through. Suicides, miscarriages, cancer, old age. Just, so I want to just say that, just tempered with that. I've never lost a spouse. I don't know what that means. And don't pretend to know. Never lost a child. Don't pretend to know what that means. I think I do, but never pretend. So please, I'm going to just go with what the scripture says. And perhaps somehow you can just file it in your mind or your heart. And just to be able to remember that we serve a God of hope. And because of the fall and because of sin, there's death. And sometimes there's premature death. And to me, sometimes it's just a mystery that I don't want to pretend that I know all about. But there is instruction about grief. There is instruction about lament that I think is really important. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep." Now that means asleep in Jesus. They've died. Their body has been laid to rest. "So that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope." Now, the word hope is really important. Hope, the way that we usually describe it, is a wishing with uncertainty. We hope, but we wish, and we don't know if we'll get it, and I don't even know if I'll get it ever. But biblical hope is anticipation of something that is certain. And that's what he's talking about. The world doesn't have this kind of hope. Unbelievers don't have it. We have hope. We have hope in Jesus, and that's what he's saying. Listen, I'm writing these things so that I want to inform you, so that you don't grieve about those who have fallen asleep, as do the rest who have no hope. Because if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that those that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. Watch. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, what I love about this is that you see this in the resurrection of Jesus, but you also see it right at his death. When the Bible says that when he died and the temple veil was torn in two, that immediately graves shook and opened and people came out and appeared to their loved ones. It's a glimpse of what's coming when these graves right outside of those of the saints of God will open up and people come and meet Jesus in the air. We hope in the resurrection of Jesus. We've given our lives to him to give our lives to him in such a way that we believe that when we die, that this will happen to us. But the moment that we come to Christ, we have this assurance that right now, right here, I've died, I've been and I've been raised to walk in a newness of life, right now, right here, to be forever changed, to be transformed in the likeness of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm writing these things so that you would have hope and anticipation. What I'm saying by the Spirit of God, I'm talking about Paul here, not me, not Mike Fritcher, but what he is saying according to the Spirit of God. That if your loved ones are in Christ and they've died in Christ, they're going to rise first. And immediately following those alive, watch this. Bible says it. dead in Christ, right, will rise first. And then those of us who remain alive and remain will be caught up, watch, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so watch, we, all of us, will be together with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Hope has an element to it of something that's not yet, or it's not hope. You don't have hope on something you see, something that you've gained, because you got it. Hope is always based on something that's not here yet. And so he's saying, listen, we have a great outcome. It doesn't negate the hurt. It doesn't negate the hole. It doesn't negate the grief. It doesn't negate any of those things. We have hope. And the reason why we begin with this is because when you begin with hope and anticipation, you're flooded with the Spirit of God. You're flooded with the Word of God that continually reminds you of our future together forever. Amen. And it's more than just we'll see them again. No, we'll fellowship with them forever. It's not just a glimpse. Oh, you're okay, so I'm going to go on and live on the other side of heaven so I don't have to see you again. People like that. I think I said this. I was looking at some old notes years ago, and I quoted, I don't remember, and I'm glad I don't remember, but someone said, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I forgive you, but when I go to heaven, I want to be far from you. I'm glad I don't remember who that was. No, comfort one another with these words. Not just the graveside here. It's every person you've ever lost or will lose who's in Christ. It's for every baby that you lost in the womb, every baby that you miscarried. If we believe that life begins at conception, where do you think those babies are today? They're in heaven. And not only will we see them again, we will be with them forever. This is the hope we have of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, of having a growing relationship with God through Him. And what's interesting about hope, and I don't have this in my notes, and I certainly don't have it in yours, but I think about the hope and the anticipation that God says that when He appears, we will be like Him. It's really important. He's saying something. Well, just go there. Go to 1 John chapter 3, if you would. It's really, really important because this is about priority of what we hope in. This is a hope. When he says, I'm saying these things to you so that you'll grieve with hope. What is our hope when he appears? And I want to say this and suggest to you because it's really, really important. Our greatest hope is not being with our loved ones forever. That's not what it is. The greatest hope of all is that when He appears, we all will be together, but we'll all be like Jesus. Just like what was sung, it's just all the wounds, all the hurts, all the difficulty, all the suffering, all those things. All the betrayals, all the abandonments, all those things that brought a little bit of death while we were still alive. All those things will be gone because we will be like Him. Chapter 3, verse 1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we would be called the children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world doesn't know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we're children of God. It's not yet appeared what we will be, but we know that when He appears, we will be like Him. We will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself right now, right here, while he's alive, just as He is pure. This is our hope. Our anticipation. Together, yes, with the Lord, but together like Jesus. We do not grieve as the rest who have no hope. We hope in the resurrection of the saints, which means that at the resurrection of the saints, we all become like Him. We shed the old body. We shed all these things, all the hurt, all the wounds, all those things, and we become like Jesus forever and ever and ever. It's our hope. Second, we believe to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is why we have hope at the graveside. Because when that person ejected from that earth suit, so to speak, that carton, so to speak, she was immediately with the Lord, if she was in Christ. I experienced losing a best friend. His name was Mike O'Hara. He was a couple years older than me. He came to Christ as a teenager at a camp that we had. And he was from Ohio, and by the time I got to know him, he was eighth grade, I was 10th grade, and we kind of hit it off. Don't ask me how. And then he felt called to ministry. I felt called. We were discipled together. He went into youth ministry and with Young Life and or Student Life, one of those two in New Orleans, and had a successful ministry. Came down with cancer. Went through all the processes of chemotherapy at MD Anderson. Johnny and I were living in Houston, so he came. He stayed with us. We watched him die. Spent the last week of his life with him in New Orleans before we moved to Fort Worth from Houston. And there's two things he told me. When he was battling the cancer, he just said to me, we are expecting the best, but we are still preparing for the worst. Some of you might think, well, that doesn't sound like faith to me. I want to tell you, that sounds like faith to me. It's a preparation. Who knows the mind of God? Who knows the will of God? If we believe that God is sovereign, that he's great in the heavens. I'll tell you the second thing he said. The first time I walked into his living room, Catherine had just fixed him a bowl of spaghetti, and he ate that spaghetti, and he sat back down, and he never got back up. And so 2 days later, we're there, and we're spending the day with him. And the first thing he says to me, Fritch, I'm about to eject from this earth suit. Wow. A friend, 21 years old, 20, I'm sorry, 23 years old this time. He's 26. He's teaching me how to die. He's teaching me how to die with great confidence in the greatness of God. It's hope. I'm going to eject from here. I'm going to be like Jesus. This is the hope that we have in Christ. It's what he says. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, to be just like him. 2 Corinthians verse 5, 6 through 8. That's what he says. He says, hey, and Paul even says this, I prefer to be absent from the body so that I might be present with the Lord. I'm 64 years old. I've tried to walk with God since I was before 8. Knew that I'd preach at 10, went into ministry at 17, been your pastor for 39 years. And I don't know if I can say that. I want to say it. Love to say it. I love my Lord right here. I love his people. I love you. I love my family, but oh, what does it take for a man or a woman to say, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body to be home with the Lord. This is not some kind of desperate, oh, poor me, my life is so bad, I'm ready to be with Jesus. There's some people who say that. Paul is the most successful man in the Christian life right now. He's leading people to Christ. He's speaking. Matter of fact, he says, listen, I prefer this, but I don't think that's going to happen because I still got more things to do for the Lord. But that's what he said. In other words, my relationship, he's saying, is so rich, it's so alive, it's so real, it's so present, that really it doesn't really matter because I'm just going to step right into it and keep on doing what I've been doing. Yeah. We have hope because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I got to say this, it's really important. This is only for the believer in Christ. No one else. It's only through Christ that we have salvation. Only through Him. Very important. There's no other name that can do this but Jesus. He's the one. So it's really important to understand that you only have this kind of hope if you have a growing, vibrant relationship with Jesus and you are ready to meet Him. It means you've got Jesus in your life. It means that you are always just thinking about who you are in Christ. You're thinking about where you lack. And I'm not talking about a legalistic thing here. I'm just talking about a thing that God comes to do with the grace of God in your life. That examination is good. It's important in my life. And it's just, I just want to be ready. That's what he's saying. I'm ready. Actually, I prefer it. Because I know. I know where I'm headed. I know what God has for me. I just know that I'm going to be like Him. That He who began a good work in me will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And so I got to ask the question, do you know Him today? Do you have a personal, growing, vibrant relationship? Have you come to this place to believe that what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, He did just for you? To save you from your sin and the power of sin, and one day from the presence of sin, which is heaven, which is like Him. Yes, to be in Christ means to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Third, we have the Godhead to get us through any pain and any loss and any temptation in our lives. Romans 8, 26 through 31. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words because he understands what the will of God is and he knows what the mind of God is. And so he always intercedes according to the will of God. Do you believe that today? That he's in you right now interceding for you. Will I believe that in that moment of doubt, in that moment of just trying to grab on to what God wants me to see right now, that he's interceding for me with groanings too deep for words? And then the next passage says, and then God, the Father, he's causing it all to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that today? Please say yes. And that doesn't mean 90% of the time, or when I feel like it, or I don't feel it, or whatever. No, this is the Word of God. He's working all things out for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And here's the purpose: for whom He foreknew, He predestined, also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren, right? And then He goes on, He says, and these whom He predestined, He also called, and those whom He called, He also justified, and those whom He justified, He glorified. Every single person we mentioned that knew Jesus is now glorified with Him. Because when He appeared to them that day, they became like Him. This is our hope, folks. This is our hope. This is our hope for us. It's hope for the loved one who's gone before us. Yeah. And then, you know, it goes on and he says, such a great thought. It's just, hey, so not only that, but Jesus the Son is also at the right hand interceding for us. At the right hand of God, on the throne room of God. And you know, I love that because not only is the Holy Spirit praying, but Jesus is praying for you right now, right here. Even in your darkest moments, even when you're thinking about the loss, it is so hard that he's praying for you. And I just want to say, will you believe that and agree with it? Because I'm going to say this, there's lots of us in here that we've not lost anybody as close as some of us have lost, and yet we still have pain and we still have sorrow and we have these things that have happened in our lives. Some of us have been rejected by our family. Some of us have been rejected by not maybe our parents. I mean, even David said, hey, my own mother and father have forsaken me. Psalm 27. Yeah. This is not just about the dead. It's about the suffering that we've walked through. And well, I have this hope, this anticipation of Christ-likeness, and that God is working it all together, and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And what's so great about that last piece in Romans chapter 8, when you go to it, he says, listen, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. I'm saying nothing, not life, nor death, nor any created thing, whether it's high, whether it's low, anything in this world cannot separate you. Matter of fact, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Jesus who loved us. Yeah, folks, listen, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have the Trinity that's working it all out. And the fourth thing is that God never, ever stops being good. He's a good God, even in the pain. And the last thing you want to do is question the goodness of God in your loss. Because God is good. And folks, I'm not saying it might be hard to think it or feel it and say, "Where God, where are you?" But I'm just telling you, when you get to this place to believe that he is good, and he's good all the time, not just 90% of the time, not just 98, but he's good all the time. Listen, David said this, we read it, we sung about it on the goodness of the Lord. He says this in Psalm 23:6, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David's lost. He lost the baby. He lost stuff. He lost things. He lost relationship with his family. His son rebelled against him. There's loss. There's betrayal here. And yet he's still saying, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life." I think when I begin to confess that, when I knew, according to Lamentations 3:23, that God's grace is mercies, or they're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. We sang about that as well today. His mercies are new every morning. I think the fifth thing that I want to say to you is that God heals the wound. He heals it. Sometimes we are afraid of having wounds heal because we think maybe that makes us think that maybe we've stopped loving the loved one. No, that's not it at all. I'm not saying that there's still those days that are hard and difficult, but you know that God is healing the wound. Isaiah chapter 53. We've had Lord's Supper a couple of times this season at Thanksgiving and at Christmas. And when I hold up the host, when I hold up the bread, I quote Isaiah 53:4 that says, "Surely he bore our sorrows and he carried our grief on his body." That grief. That sorrow. And you know what else he goes on to say? "For by his stripes you are healed." Sorrow, grief, the stripes of Jesus healing you 600 years before Jesus actually did that. He healed it. I think sometimes people will continue to grieve for years and years, again, because the enemy says, if you stop grieving, you didn't really love her. You didn't really love that son. You didn't really love that wife. You never really loved that mom. My God says, he was crushed for all that. And he healed your sin and he healed your sorrows. In your griefs. And well, I just simply believe that today. To see what God might resurrect in my life. To see what he might do. God heals the wound. I think the sixth thing that I would say in closing is that the joy in the Lord and of the Lord is right now, right here. Available for the rest of our lives. Even in the midst of loss. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, "Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning." And then I want to say one other thing about peace. You have hope. You have faith. You walk by faith, not by sight. But you walk in the peace of Jesus, because Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you, that you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world." Yes, overcome the world. This is our hope. And I pray that today, that those of us who've lost, and I'm talking lost big, You've lost big. No doubt that you can find him. Paul said it like this: I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Watch this. And in the fellowship of his what? Sufferings. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Father, I know that the new year's tomorrow, but we know that the new year and commitments we make are usually fleeting, elusive, because the new year is fleeting. I want to thank you that your mercies are new every morning. His compassions, they never fail. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that were at this altar today. And I ask God in Jesus' name that the mercies and the compassions of God would do a mighty, mighty work. And that you'd bless us as we go from this place. Maybe to take what we've looked at this week to be able to help somebody else with, encourage with, something to file away. Something to embrace the hope right now, right here. And I pray, God, that you'd show yourself strong and mighty in this. And I pray that you'd bring this healing that you did at the cross 2,000 years ago when you carried it with you. You carried the sorrow. You carried the hurt. You carried the wound. No matter what the wound was, may you birth within us that kind of faith, that kind of belief, that kind of obedience. I pray that you'd encourage us today, Lord. In a great and mighty way. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Micaiah, come on up here real quick. This is Micaiah.